Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Now, please welcome your host, Adam Patrick.
All right. Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, the official podcast for thevikingage.com. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor and lead writer for the Viking Age. Before we get started today, make sure to follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. The site's username on Twitter is @TheVikingAge, and you can follow the site's Facebook page by heading to facebook.com/TheVikingAge. All right, on today's show, to help us talk about the Green Bay Packers, who the Vikings are playing this Sunday at noon Central Time inside U.S. Bank Stadium. The Packers are 8-2. The Vikings are 4-5. And I believe the Packers, last time I checked, are only favored by 1.5. That line dropped a little bit since the last couple of days. So to help us talk about the game and just the rivalry in general between the Packers and Vikings is Dominic Pfister from us here at the Viking Age. He's been on the show in the past, so welcome back, Dominic.
Yeah, glad to be back. Thanks for having me back on the show, Adam.
All right, before we get into some Packers and Vikings talk, I haven't talked to you in a little bit, so I just want to get, you know, what are you currently feeling about the Vikings after their first 9 games of this season?
It's pretty consistent of the Kirk Cousins era with the Vikings in terms of, like, I feel we're getting very close to make or break point. Mm-hmm. Where you come out of this game and you're 5-5, right? Or you're 4-6. Mm-hmm. And now it's time to press the panic button a little bit on 4-6. Now you're only a game back out of the playoffs right now. Yep. Putting yourself in a good position, depending on what happens tonight with Atlanta and New England, you could make a push there. But I think that up to this point, it's been a typical of the Kirk Cousins era where they this year has kind of also been an anomaly, but usually they win the games they're supposed to, they lose the games they're supposed to, and they don't do much in between. But this year, it's just been a complete coin flip. So,
For real. Like, it really has been. Some games have come down to a coin flip.
Yeah.
They've gone to overtime 3 times. But the good news is, after they play the Packers on Sunday, they get, you know, their schedule gets a little easier. They play the 49ers, Lions, Steelers, and Bears. So if they do go 4-6, they do have an opportunity to kind of, you know, make up for some of that. Maybe go 3-1, possibly 4-0. Who knows? A bunch of those teams are weird too. It's like the 49ers just killed the Rams, and the Steelers just tied with the Lions, and the Bears. You know, the Bears game is on Monday night in Chicago, so we always know how that game goes in primetime in Chicago. It doesn't matter what the Bears record is, the Vikings are always going to figure out a way to try and at least give the game away. That'll be Justin Fields. You know, I'm sure that'll be like his coming out party or whatever, because he's playing the Vikings, and that's usually what happens. But it does look slightly easier. And then this week, as far as it goes, like playing the Packers, you know, everyone's thinking they have a chance, you know, get 5-5. I'm just like waiting for something to drop, because like that's the way the season has gone down. Like, I'm waiting for like Saturday and them to be like, oh, the Vikings have placed Kirk Cousins on the reserve COVID list. And I feel like that's going to happen or something. Like, I'm just like, you know, something like that. Because the week they had a bunch of like false positives this week, seems to be getting better, because some of those guys like Brian O'Neill and DJ Wanham. So you're like, oh, they kind of need those guys. And then comes back that they're false positive, so they're available for this game. And it looks like Patrick Peterson's coming back, Harrison Smith, Anthony Barr. So you're like, oh, we got all these guys coming back. Aaron Jones is out for the Packers. You're like, things are looking up. I feel like it's the Vikings fan in me. And it's just like, something's going to happen. Like, if it doesn't, okay. But like, just got a weird feeling, and it's just probably just part of being a Vikings fan. I'm sure you just have, you just feel that way whenever you think or just watch about the Vikings. I'm sure you feel that way too.
Yeah, here we go again, right? The optimism, being a Vikings fan and everything. I think that, yeah, all signs are going to point to, everyone's kind of expecting that close game where we're, what are we, 1.5 underdogs, you said?
Yep.
Yeah, so I don't even want to think about Soldier Field. Nothing good ever happens in Soldier Field.
No.
But Lambeau Fields,
they've been kind of successful there recently.
Yeah, I was actually looking back in on that article I just wrote. Yeah. Check it out on Viking Age.
Yep.
But a majority of those wins have come in Green Bay.
Yep. And they had that tie too. I think Kirk Cousins' first season where they came back, they were down like 14 points or something. And they came back and got the tie because, you know, Daniel Carlson couldn't make a field goal. But, you know, he's with the Raiders now and he makes every kick. So that's good.
Yeah, that game was
based on what you've seen so far, we'll just do a kind of a quick run through here. Like, do you think Mike Zimmer is back next year?
Oof. I'm going to give him 3 weeks and we'll reevaluate the situation in 3 weeks. Okay. I was at the Baltimore Ravens game and yeah. I was ready for just based off the Dallas game and then Baltimore and back-to-back weeks, I was ready. I hate to fire the head coach in the middle of the season, but I was ready for like a peaceful separation mm-hmm. at the end of the year, a mutual separation.
Zimmer has agreed to resign.
Yeah, something like that. It just to me, it almost feels like the coaching staff and the personnel, it just doesn't mesh somehow. It just doesn't go together. Oh, it feels like they're fighting each other, you know?
It might have something to do with Mike Zimmer picking someone who's never called plays before to be his offensive coordinator. And, like, it's not even looking like it's Stefanski. You can't compare those two because you're like, oh, well, Stefanski never called plays before either. But Stefanski was with the Vikings for, like, 14 years. So he was at least on a coaching staff for a long time, learned a lot from a bunch of people. Kubiak's been in the NFL for, like, 3 or 4 years. And he's been, a quarterback's coach under his dad. Like, that's the only system he really knows. I'm sure he knows other systems as well. But, like, it's not, like, I just feel like they kind of just mailed it in when it came to picking their offensive coordinator. Which they've done in the past. And it's kind of worked out. They went with Shermer, you know, who's still on the staff, and they went with Stefanski. But yeah, this one and the I feel like the whole co-defensive coordinator thing still bothers me too. Like why do you need to have co-defensive coordinator? Just have one or none. You call the defensive plays anyways. Who cares if you have a defensive coordinator? I'm sure like Andre Patterson's job and Adam Zimmer's job are not so much more different because they're co-defensive coordinators now. Maybe they run some meetings. I don't know about Zimmer because I know the Wolves like the ownership likes continuity. They like organizations like the Giants and Steelers and stuff, and they look at those as like a model organization. So the fact that it hasn't blown up already, it could have. It almost did. I feel like if they lost to the Chargers last week, things could have gotten a little ugly. But
I agree. I think that which is so confusing to me is that so Zimmer's a defensive minded head coach.
Yeah.
So you would imagine they would allocate more veteran coaches to the offensive side of the ball, like yep. they had Gary Kubiak.
Yep.
But instead, they just put all. It seems like they just put all their coaching attention on the defense. I mean, you mm-hmm. have not one but two defensive coordinators with a defensive minded head coach, mm-hmm. and then you leave this.
And they've got a senior defensive assistant too, Paul Gunther, who used to be with the Raiders and Bengals. He's their senior defensive assistant.
Because why not? Why wouldn't the Vikings? But why would you leave this kid all by himself in the OC chair? It doesn't make sense to me. I think that's where you see that conservative play calling in these tight moments is just based off of inexperience, and it's getting very frustrating, and I think that's a big reason why we're losing these games.
The rumor is he got some help last week from quarterback's coach, Andrew Janocco. That's the rumor going around.
I'm glad 10 weeks or 9 weeks into the season that we've discovered we need to get the ball to Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
We discovered
and Dalvin Cook.
We need to help out our young and Dalvin Cook. Yeah.
You know, get the ball to your best players. Weird. You know, it's a weird philosophy. You know, not many teams do it, but, you know, the best ones do. So, all right, sticking with who's coming back and not, Kirk Cousins. Think he's coming back next year? Right now he's got a $45 million cap hit.
Oof, man, that's a lot. I think when's his what he's got 2 years left on his
one.
Contract?
One.
1 year. I think he finishes out the contract.
With the 45?
Yeah, I don't know if they'll try to convert it into a signing bonus or that's a popular thing going on now.
Yeah, yeah.
But it really depends how they feel about Kellen Mond too, I guess.
The thing with his, though, I don't think they can convert it into signing bonus because I think it's all fully guaranteed anyways. So, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what they can do with that. They can either trade him, extend him.
I don't see a team trading for Kirk Cousins and taking that.
Oh, you don't? Somebody traded for Sam Darnold last year. And Jared Goff. Well, they gave Jared Goff in exchange for Matt Stafford, but I mean, teams traded for Brock Osweiler. Like, there's a team out there that would take Kirk Cousins. You look at the Broncos, George Payton over there now. I could see him going there, definitely. Especially with Pat Shurmur being there still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's always a team looking for a quarterback. I would say Washington, but he's not going back there.
Yeah, right. Or San Francisco, unfortunately. That rumor is always alive every year. But drafting Trey Lance.
They got Trey Lance, so I don't know if that's going to happen. And, you know, you don't know what – maybe you look at the Steelers. They're an organization that I feel like would do well with him as far as they don't need him to do a lot. Just, you know, don't mess up, which is kind of what Cousins likes to do. He likes to just not mess up, even if it's not the best option.
Throw passes to the running back.
Yeah, because look at Roethlisberger. He's not doing much back there. And Mike Tomlin, you know, he's been with the team for a while, and they always have a solid defense. So I think the Steelers might be a team to keep an eye on. Maybe even the Seahawks if they get rid of Russell Wilson. Who knows? There's always a team. You never know. Never know. That's one thing I've learned, like, covering the NFL for, like, since, like, 2013. There's always a chance, no matter what. You think about the Vikings getting Patrick Peterson. Nobody saw that coming. You know, Stephon Diggs getting traded to the Bills. I think some people could have predicted that, but nobody really, like, thought it would actually happen. A lot of examples.
In the offseason, if Spielman or Zimmer or whoever the OC is for the Vikings, if they keep Kubiak, if any one of the three says Kirk's our quarterback, then you know Kirk's gone.
Yeah, he's our quarterback. We have no intention of trading Kirk Cousins. Yeah, he's gone.
He's gone. That's
keep an eye out on the Combine press conference. That's usually when they're like, no, we have no idea. That's usually actually when Zimmer spills the beans, where like he like subliminally like gives his true feelings. Because before they even signed Kirk, he was all like, you know, I told Rick we can't go spending like a bunch of money on a quarterback because that takes away from the rest of the team. Because he probably knew like, hey, we're gonna go after Kirk Cousins, and he's like, I don't know, we just won with Case Keenum. Why do we need to spend money on Kirk Cousins? But all right. So you think he'll be back?
I do. I think he's played very, very well this year. I think he's earned it to come back.
He has. But that Cowboys and Ravens game, it just brings back to old Kirk. It's just like,
yeah, he's played so well.
I thought he turned a corner. And
you're never confident in that 2 minute. How many? Yeah, you're never confident in the 2 minute drill when he's got the ball. It's pretty striking when he says that he doesn't know if he's allowed to call timeout.
And
you're the captain of the team.
Like, 10-year veteran?
Then you're a vet, you're the captain, you're about to, you have this huge contract, and you're not allowed to call timeout. I don't understand that.
But I think Zimmer disputed that, actually. I think he did say that Cousins is allowed to.
Yeah, I don't even want to know what the issue
is. Well, they have that meeting now, the 45 minutes. They get together and sing songs and stuff. Yeah.
That's what I mean. They just, that's not a marriage. That's not a good marriage.
I don't think it was ever going to be good from the start. I think Zimmer's like, you took Teddy away from me, and I'm gonna make life miserable for you. Zimmer would love a quarterback. I feel like Zimmer would like Lamar Jackson a lot, just because he runs so much, and he's like, yes, this is what I want him to do. Yeah, I think he would like Zimmer or like Lamar Jackson a lot. A lot of people would, because he's just really good. All right. let's just move on to the Vikings and Packers. Like I mentioned before, they play on Sunday, noon Central Time, inside U.S. Bank Stadium. So this will be just an early afternoon game. Usually you see, I think the game in Lambeau is a primetime game this year when the Vikings play the Packers later this year. I think that's a primetime game. But this one is a afternoon game. The Vikings actually play pretty well in noon games in the past, at least with Kirk Cousins. Aaron Jones is out for this game. Aaron Rodgers hasn't practiced this week, but he says he's going to play. He's going to play. But Packer week, what do you instantly think of when you think about Vikings Packers?
I think of non-holding calls. I think of Aaron Rodgers scrambling outside the pocket on like second and long, third and long, and just completing, just keeping the chains moving. And it's it's really bad for my health to watch that over and over again. But that's the first two things that I think of. Just the fact that he always keeps the chains moving, whoever it is, you know, Randall Cobb, or whether it was Jordy Nelson, or now he just instantly, if you have one-on-one with Davante Adams, it's going back shoulder for first down, and it's just a cheat code, and it should be legal. And
they got the pick plays that, you know, that aren't offensive pass interference for the Packers, but they are for everyone else.
There's actually a stat today that came out. The Vikings they have 23 holding penalties in 9 games. That's the most in the league.
And Ali Udo has 20 of them. No, he actually has 6.
The Packers have had 9 holding penalties.
Of course.
In 10 games, with 3 of them being dismissed.
Of course. Yeah, of course they do. But they don't have Bakhtiari, their left tackle, and I don't think he's been out for the whole season. But I don't think he's going to be ready to play on Sunday. So I guess that's good. Well, yeah, it's good for Everson Griffin. He's typically done pretty well against the Packers. Yeah, with Aaron Rodgers back there, you just always got to worry. So the game is. I think Patrick Peterson talked about it today for the Vikings when he spoke to the media. That like you have to play until the very last second, like. The Packers are never out of it, unless it's a blowout, as long as he's the quarterback. Like, he's going to keep you in no matter what. It's just, it's really annoying, especially this year with all the attention that Aaron Rodgers is getting, positive and negative. Or I'm sick of him, but at the same time, I'm like, he's really good. And, like, he knows he's good, and that's what makes it even annoying, too. But it's like, but he's good. So, like, you get to the point where, like, I got to this point with, like, Tom Brady, even Brett Favre before he got to the Vikings, where it's just like, they're good. Like, I can't get mad at them anymore. Like, you just got to figure out a way to beat them some other way, you know, not just be like, we got to shut down Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. Like, that's not going to happen. You got to figure out some other way.
You got to take something else away. You got to make stop the run. You got to, or just keep up. I don't know. You can't, because you know you're not going to stop him. Although Zimmer has had some success against Rodgers in terms of just making life difficult.
And the fans are back this year. That was a big difference last year. Aaron Rodgers was like playing in an empty stadium, was getting Vikings players to come off sides in their own stadium.
Yeah, that hard year. To watch. So I know.
It'll be much different. It'll be a lot louder. Hopefully Vikings fans did not sell their Packers tickets, you know, before last week's game. Unfortunately, I'm thinking some of them might have, but because I don't want to hear that stupid Packers chant in the middle of the game. Where it's, go Pack! No, I don't want to hear that in the Viking Stadium. I liked hearing the skull chant in the Charger Stadium, but that's because Chargers don't have fans. Vikings have fans, so I don't want to hear that. But when I think of Vikings Packers, I'm a little older than you, so I think of Randy Moss, his Monday night debut in '98. That was a classic where he just torched the Packers. I think of,
was that the disgusting?
Nope. That was rookie season. And I think the disgusting act was like 2005. That was the playoff game where Moss did the moon. He shot the moon, as Chris Collinsworth likes to say. And yeah, Joe Buck's disgusting act. That call will live in infamy in Vikings history. I think of that Antonio Freeman catch. I don't know if you ever seen that highlight where like he's the ball's like bobbling on his shoulder and he catches it in overtime to win. For the Packers to win. Obviously, I think of Brett Favre playing for the Vikings against the Packers, you know, beating them on Monday night and then going to Lambeau and beating them. I think of, what else did I think? Oh, opening U.S. Bank Stadium against the Packers. I think you wrote about that. The home opener, the regular season home opener. They beat the, that was Sam Bradford and Stephon Diggs, and everyone thought, oh, here we go, Sam Bradford, he's the guy, and then no. But yeah,
it's that optimism. There's a lot,
and I think you can go back to probably like the 70s and think of more stuff. But I'm not that old, and I don't know. And I'm just looking forward to the next decade of the Vikings dominating the Packers because Aaron Rodgers is gonna be gone. We already saw Jordan Love, and he does not look very good. So I'm excited about that. Sorry, Packers fans, but I'm not. All right. Let's move on. Least favorite Packers Vikings memory.
Least favorite. Two losses come to mind in my adolescent Vikings fanhood here. Would be one of them was in 2014 when we lost 42-10. We just went into Lambeau and we didn't even show up.
Was that TCL? Was that a home game or was that in Lambeau?
I want to say it was in Lambeau. We just didn't. Maybe it was home, but we didn't.
I think
even
it was when they were in their temporary. They were in the Gophers.
Oh, we were. Yeah, we didn't even show up to the game. We were down 42-0 before. It was like I don't even know. We just didn't even decide to play. It was we were 2-3 going into the game. Like it wasn't like we were bad. So we just didn't even.
Oh no, it wasn't Lambeau. I remember that because it was because Ponder started that game. I think Teddy got a concussion or something, or he hurt his foot or something the week before, and the Vikings didn't let him play, and Ponder started and got his ass kicked. Surprise.
Surprise. Our first round pick, Christian Ponder?
Yeah, right. Where is he? Being a dad somewhere. Yeah, that was a bad one. I think I've probably like tried to erase that from my memory. I think there's a GIF or just a screenshot of Teddy just having like a sad face or something on the sideline that people like to bring up from that game. That's all I remember from that because I try and not think about that stuff. You said you had two games?
Yep, that was the first one. And the second one was in 2019. We had the opportunity to be 2-0 and just a bad game by Kirk. It was the game where Delvin had that 75-yard touchdown run at the end of the first half. Mm-hmm. And it kind of felt like we had some momentum going. But there was just – it just seemed like we were lacking juice. We were down 14-0. Dalvin broke one. Had a great game, actually. I think he had like 150-plus rushing yards. Mm-hmm. We moved the ball all over the place, but we had 8 penalties for 100 yards. And it just – yeah, just
– that was the double coverage interception, right, at the end of the game?
Yeah. Yeah, and he hit Diggs late with like 5 minutes to go in the game over the top for a touchdown, and then we had the extra point get blocked. So every time we did something good, it felt like we just took 2 steps back, one step forward.
Diggs took his helmet off, right?
Or he faked. I think he faked it off, or maybe he
might. Yeah, I think he took it off and got a penalty.
Yeah,
he was frustrated the whole game that he was either getting like held or something, or he wasn't getting the ball. I think he took it off and got a penalty.
Yeah, that game
that was
just
the beginning of the end for Mr. Diggs in Minnesota. Yeah, I remember that game. That was frustrating to watch too because you're like, this, you know, who'd they beat in week one? I think they beat the 49ers, the Vikings did. And that was like, they beat Garoppolo and George Kittle. That was like his coming out game or whatever. People didn't really know about him. He had like over 100 yards receiving. But they beat Garoppolo and pretty convincingly, and I think Dalvin Cook was supposed to be like super healthy because he was 2 years removed from his torn ACL, and then yeah, they're just flat against the Packers.
It just felt like we were the better team and just couldn't pull out a win.
And I think the week after was when they played the Bills, and that was 2018. That was 2018.
That was 2018. Yeah, because yeah,
they played week two years in a row in Lambeau. I don't want to talk about that Bills game. It's Josh Allen hurdle photo going around still that I don't like to ever see. All right, so I think my least favorite Vikings-Packers memory, I just don't like watching them lose to the Packers. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe the playoff game, what was it, 2012, when Joe Webb had to start?
Oh, God. That way you almost can't even get mad about that. Cause
yeah. Like, everyone's like, yes, Joe Webb, he can do great. He won Tuesday Night Football like a year ago. He can beat the Packers. And I think Ponder had like a bruise on his arm or whatever. And Ponder was actually like playing kind of decent. So people were getting mad at him for not playing. But his bruise was like covering his whole arm. That was Peterson's MVP year and they shut him down. Because that's all he had to do to beat the Vikings in 2012. That's probably, yeah, one of my least favorite. Just, and then just getting blown out in US Bank Stadium last year. It wasn't even a game, like from the start. It was nothing. And obviously no fans played a part in that, but still, like, it's week one, you can't be competitive. Come on.
I know. You come out flat.
Come on. All right. What are some Packers players that you've loved to root against?
Oh, I had a fun time making this list. Aaron Rodgers, number one.
Yeah.
Za'Darius Smith, Davante Adams, Aaron Jones, David Bakhtiari.
You're gonna list the whole roster?
I'm going down. Brian Bulaga, Clay Matthews, Jordan Nelson, Eddie Lacy.
Eddie Lacy. Oh man, he was almost a Viking. Remember that?
Was he actually almost a Viking?
He visited the Vikings. He like came and visited and did all that. I think I want to say it was 2016, and I think they signed Latavius Murray, or that was, or mix him up, but I know it was 2015 or 2016. He actually came and like did the visit and everything. I think he signed with the Seahawks.
You didn't like the meals in Minnesota?
It's waiting for that. Where is he now? Oh man. He wasn't bad. Like when he was first with the Packers, like he was pretty good.
He was huge. That's why I didn't like him. It was like third down, every third down, he just barrel people over, and they're trying to do the same thing with AJ Dillon now. But
yeah, I'm worried about, kind of worried about him on Sunday. Like people are like, oh, Aaron Jones isn't playing. It's like AJ Dillon isn't terrible.
Yeah, they draft. Yeah,
the Vikings' run defense is not that good.
I just can picture a physical, just him barreling over
people. That's why I think Anthony Barr needs to play, because I think the run defense is way better when he's on the field. He just makes sure that everyone gets in the right spots and the right gaps and all that stuff.
Yeah.
My least favorite Packers players right now, I got to go with Jaire Alexander, just because he's so cocky. But he has a right to be. He's good. But like same time, like him getting into stuff with Thielen and I think Jefferson last year. It's like, come on, like you're okay. You're not Jalen Ramsey or whatever. Like chill out. I kind of want him to be on the Vikings, actually. So that's probably why I don't like him, because he went to the Packers. And they, I think, who'd they draft instead? Was that Mike Hughes? Was that the year? I don't know. I can't remember. Or maybe I think they got Garrett Bradbury, actually. So that's even worse. But yeah, I don't like him. I don't like Clay Matthews. I don't know. There's not a whole lot of Packers like I don't like, just because they're good. Like, it's like I mentioned with Aaron Rodgers before, I'm like, I can't get mad at him just because he's good. Like, he backs it up. It's not like I'm watching, like, Jay Cutler, and I'm like, he's got a few good seasons, and, you know, and people are like, he's so good. And it's like, not really. Aaron Rodgers is good. He was MVP last year. He threw, like, what, like, almost 50 touchdowns?
Yeah. They just look really efficient under the floor. And
it's annoying. Like, they were...
So annoying.
They were supposed to get a worse coach, not a better one.
I know.
man. But you know what? They still can't get to the Super Bowl. So what about some of your, like, I've been mentioning just kind of respecting Packers players, like some Packers players that, you know, you want to dislike, but you just can't because they're good and they're not like terrible people. Like, who are some of those guys that maybe come to mind?
Yeah, I think Brett Favre.
For sure,
But other than that, I liked Greg Jennings. I liked Donald Driver.
Yep.
The two receivers. Yep. I don't know what it was. Just seemed like businessmen, you know? Jordy Nelson, you can't I don't want to like Jordy Nelson, but he's like paved the way for Adam Thielen, I guess.
Why do you say that?
He just always seemed to be like wide open on skinny posts. All like the greatest skinny post runner of all time. He just was always open 40 yards downfield. But I also liked on their that Super Bowl run they had was their defensive lineman, Jonathan Jolly. They would do the, Jonathan Jolly, but BJ Raji would do
he was there, and then the one before that, the Super Bowl run before that, was like Gilbert Brown, if you remember him. Mm-hmm. That big guy with like he wore a visor. He had like he was like 350 pounds, and he had this tiny helmet, and he wore a visor. It's like, what are you doing? Yeah, I remember BJ Raji. Yeah, I totally forgot the Packers went to the Super Bowl in 2011, and they won, right? They beat the Steelers.
Won the Steelers, yeah.
Yeah.
Charles Woodson, I think you got to put up there too.
Oh yeah. I forget about him. I just think of him as a Raider.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was good. He was good with the Packers. I don't know. Maybe Ryan Longwell. I don't know.
Why not Matt Flynn? We'll toss him on there.
I think of Dorsey Levens. Like he's one of the guys that comes to mind when I think of the Packers. Dorsey Levens. He's kind of a late '90s kind of running back. Amon Green. They've had some pretty decent running backs. But yeah, I had you on this week because I didn't want to talk to anyone who actually like admits to rooting for the Packers, on my show. So that's why anyone who tries to convince themselves that a piece of paper is worth $300.
I don't know what's going on. my cousins are big Packers fans. They live in upstate New York, just the same as me.
Yeah.
They're big Packers fans. They wear the cheese heads, but I don't know what it is about the Packer fan base, but it's similar to the Cowboys, but the Cowboys had that decade. They've had, you know, history of dominance.
Yeah.
The Packers won the first two Super Bowls, and then I don't think they won one until Favre won one in the 90s, and then Rodgers won one in 2011.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you had three of the best – you transition right from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, and you have two Super Bowls to show for it over that court. It's not like you've been dominating the NFL at all.
Yeah, like Reggie White too, and
they've never built a team around either of those two.
No,
they just relied on fantastic quarterback play and just people
just
who
like you. They're like, you figure it out. You can do it.
Yeah, and I mean, it feels like the Packers would never start Joe Webb in a playoff game.
No.
They don't know what that's like, and I can't wait for that day.
In the next
where
decade.
Start Bart Starr, and they can't start Brett Favre, and start Aaron Rodgers. And
the 80s, they were terrible. No one ever mentions that. They were terrible.
I hope we're going to revert back to that eventually. They're just privileged. They don't understand. They don't know what it's like to struggle. They're silver spooners.
That's like Patriots fans. Like if you're a young Patriots fan, you have no idea anything else other than winning Super Bowls. And it's like, do you realize the Patriots were terrible for like the first 40 years of their existence? And then Tom Brady came along.
That's who Brett Favre beat in Super Bowl.
Drew Bledsoe. Drew Bledsoe and Bill Parcells. All right. That's all I got for you today, Dominic. Where can people follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Nucci_17. That's NUCCI_17.
Make sure to go check out his stuff on the Viking Age as well. Make sure to follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. Subscribe to this podcast on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. But until next time, we will talk to you later.